Big jets or little jets, if it ain't Boeing, it ain't going. This is Aviator Cast, episode 60.
Calling all aviators, pilots, flight sim enthusiasts, and aviation lovers. You've landed at Aviator Cast. Join us weekly in our efforts to become better masters of the air through interviews, refreshers, lessons, training topics, simulator setup, hangar talk, news, and more. Buckle up and prepare yourself for this week's episode of Aviator Cast. Pre-flight complete, fuel on board, and flight plan filed. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Here's your humble host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. Oh, the challenge of flight, to touch the air and long to return. The hum of a prop turning motor, the wish of the air rushing by, and a world of possibilities aloft. If you didn't guess it already, I love flying. I am the founder of Angle of Attack, a flight training company which is bringing you this podcast today. We bring you AviatorCast weekly. We talk about flight simulation and flight training topics and overall just inspiring aviation topics. We generally try to get a great person on the show and an aspiring person in the simulation or the flight industry, and we get a lot of great aviators here at AviatorCast to share their passion each and every week. Now, this week, I don't have an interview for you guys, but I do have some really cool experiences with some other aviators that have actually been on the show that I definitely want to share with you guys. So we're going to get into that a little bit later, but join us every week on AviatorCast. This is a great and fantastic podcast. Again, we try to get some cool people on the show. Also, we get some people reviewing us on iTunes, and I like to read your reviews on the show to just show that other people out there are enjoying it as well. This one comes from Underground ATL from the USA. I'm guessing he's probably from Atlanta. And he gives us 5 stars. He says, thankful for guys like you. Currently a military helicopter pilot and love the show. I am thankful to have found a relevant aviation podcast that is current and up to date. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Underground ATL. And as you all know, if you get a review read on the show, I am going to send you an Aviator Cast t-shirt. These are exclusive t-shirts. You're not going to be able to buy these anywhere else. You're not going to be able to get them anywhere else other than right here on the show. So go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes if you do enjoy the show. It really goes a long way to make sure that our podcast can get some better visibility out there in the community, and that we can, you know, keep sharing these great aviator stories that we have almost every week and just keep sharing this passion and keep things going. So that would really help us out if you would go to iTunes and leave a review there. And in exchange for doing that, we will also send you an exclusive Aviator Cast t-shirt. So we really, really appreciate that. So on this week's podcast, I'm going to get into my aviation trip to the Pacific Northwest. Now, the main component of this was the Aviation Geek Weekend, which was put on by AirlineReporter.com. This was a great and a fantastic time. We had a lot of cool experiences at several of the Boeing locations, and I was also able to meet many cool, cool people. And then there are some other things speckled in there as well. I know you're going to want to hear about this. And you know, in addition to that Aviation Geek Weekend, I went and met Carlene Pettit, and I also went and hung out at the Alaska Airlines Flight Training Facility, which was very enlightening. I have a lot of cool stuff to share there as well. So we're going to get into that here in just a couple seconds. But first, there are just a few news items from the flight simulation space. So let's get those out of the way, and then we're going to talk about what cool things I saw and experienced at this Aviation Geek Weekend.
Now, flight simulation industry news.
All right, so just 2 news items today. The first one is very exciting for you X-Plane owners out there. This is PMDG's first product for X-Plane, and that is the DC-6B for X-Plane. So this is a very exciting development. This is the first time that PMDG, which is a very reputable manufacturer or software company that creates these aircraft has come in and they've done an older aircraft. So generally PNDG does some popular aircraft like the 737 and 777, which they are very well known for. And they also have some other well-known models in the MD-11 and the 747. But those are very, very well-known models, and they've never really gone to these older models like the DC-6B. So this is very exciting. And not only that, it is the first PNDG product for X-Plane, so you guys ought to check that out. The second is Ultimate Terrain Europe 2.0. So this is a great product that gives you some new scenery in that area. It's what they call a vector product. So what it essentially does is shapes the landscape much more realistically than you would get with the default simulator. Now, this is a similar product to that which you would get with Orbix and their vector series there, or their global series, FTX Global, that is. So those are kind of two competing products, but this is the new 2.0 version of Europe from Ultimate Terrain. Pretty good, worth looking at. So those are the two big things that I saw coming out of the flight simulation community that I wanted to bring all of your attention to. That is it. We don't have any flight training news for this week, so we are going to get right into the Aviation Geek Weekend and all of the other things I experienced while I was in the Pacific Northwest. So here we go. Finally, after a long journey down from Alaska, we arrived in the Pacific Northwest, SeaTac to be exact. At around 11 p.m., we made our way north to Everett Airfield to the Hilton Garden Inn where we stayed. Now, the Hilton Garden Inn is right next to the Future of Flight Museum where we would be the next day for the Aviation Geek Conference. And from this perspective, you can see the entire flight line at Boeing. You can see all the new airplanes that are out in front. You got tons of 787s, you got a few 747s, and definitely a lot of 777s as well. So this is the factory where they do all of the heavy aircraft, and you definitely see a whole heck of a lot of them out there. It's a really impressive sight, and so this is kind of a nice welcome for us to the area to see that flight line all lit up late at night. Now, quickly, it became apparent that I left my laptop on the airplane, so that was kind of a bummer. To start the trip is I found out that I didn't know where my MacBook Air was. So that's the kind of laptop I have. Kind of a bummer, but we were still excited and ready for the next day. And so that's kind of how things started off on this trip. Now, the Aviation Geek Weekend is something where they do a lot of cool VIP tours. You get a lot of behind the scenes look, a lot of access to much of the Boeing things, and then several other things that you're able to do as well. I mentioned that there's the Future of Flight Museum right there, and then there's a lot of other facilities that we got to see that I'll talk about. But this is a very popular event. I was primed and ready to sign up for this event this year. It sold out about 200 tickets in 30 seconds. So tickets went super, super fast. My wife and I got what they called full tickets, which is we got to see everything over the weekend. But I had a couple friends go that weren't able to secure those full tickets, and so they only got to see some of the things, although they did get to see some very cool things. So again, as I mentioned, this was the Aviation Geek Fest, or Aviation Geek Weekend. It's better known as the Aviation Geek Fest, put on by AirlineReporter.com. So day one was kind of the big Everett day, the big day at the big factory. So first off, we started out at the Future of Flight Museum where we got to see a lot of the cool things there. This is more of kind of a younger generation discovery kind of science sort of museum where kids can get pretty excited about aviation. And of course, as an aviation geek, the kid came out of me, and I was very excited about a lot of the things I saw. It's not that it's only geared toward kids. It's more geared toward, I guess, scientific and engineering learning and things like that. But it is still very cool. So you walk in the door, and there's flags from every nation hung up on the ceiling. They had a sign-up area where they gave us some cool giveaways and a gift card to the Boeing store. The kind of things you see in the Future Flight Museum, they have life-sized engines, like a 787 and a 777 engine in there. They also have a gigantic life-size tail of the 747. I'm pretty sure it's an actual tail of a 747 painted in the new 748-I, or is it -8I? I'm not too sure. But one of the large orange tails for the 747s is sitting there. So you kind of get a perspective of the size of some of these things. They have various cockpits laid throughout. There's a 727 cockpit in there. There's some full motion kind of 3D simulator type things, but they're more kind of the play movie type ride simulators than they are where you can actually manipulate the controls. They have some different cool things just spread throughout that we took a little bit of time to check out, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, it's always fun to go to the Boeing store and try to find some swag that you can take back home. And I found a cool B-17 shirt that I got, so I was really excited about that. I kind of like that vintage era of stuff. Didn't find really too much else I liked except for a notepad, but we came away with some good swag there. And that was really cool. So after we got, you know, an hour or so right there at the Future of Flight Museum, we had to give up our cameras, which was essentially everyone's cell phones, and you couldn't take cameras on this tour, and then we were going to go on the tour at the actual Boeing factory. Now, some facts about the Boeing factory itself, which is essentially just right across the street. You take a tour bus and you go down there. They call this Boeing City. And it is literally a city. I mean, they have their own fire department. I don't think they necessarily need a police department, but maybe they do. They obviously have some sort of large security department. They have 5 coffee shops. It literally is like a mini city. It's pretty crazy how big it is. It is the size of Disneyland, so you could fit Disneyland inside. It is the largest building on Earth. So the thing is huge. I mean, they're doing the 777, the 787, the 747 are all being produced in this one factory that's all connected. It has the largest mural in the world. So on the sliding doors that they have out front, the hangar doors, if you will, that they have out front, they always have a really cool mural of their aircraft line. So 787, 777, 747, really cool images. Definitely iconic. I'm sure you guys have seen that before. Now, you can also fit 55 football fields inside of the Boeing factory, which is crazy to believe. They mentioned some sort of fact that you could play the entire NFL season in one day in this factory, like all the simultaneous games all at once or something like that. Pretty wild to think about, but just some crazy facts there. For you guys that are in Europe, you can fit 3 Wembley stadiums inside the Boeing factory, and there are 1 million light bulbs. So those are just some of a few of the facts that kind of give you some perspective on the size of this Boeing factory. Now, as general public, when you go through the tour at the Boeing factory, you generally... You know, you go over there and you go up to kind of more of an overlook area where you can see the factory. Definitely still worth it if you're ever in that area to go. But what we got to do as the Aviation Geek Fest, we got to get down on the ground floor, the ground level, and we had a VIP tour. So they bussed us over there. They told us some things along the way. They drove by some of the airplanes on the way, told us about the paint hangars and some of the other airplanes that were out, some cool facts about the building. And then they pulled us around next to the 777X area that it is currently under construction. And this is where they are actually going to do their own in-house building of the 777X wings, from what I understand. So there'll be an all carbon fiber wing. Pretty impressive. So they're having to add on to the factory in order to build that out. So all of that's happening right now. We kind of pulled up to that area. We all scurried out of the bus. They gave us these little headsets that we could listen to our tour guide with. And then we walked the floor of the Boeing factory for hours, a couple hours to be exact. we walk through the 787 area, and you can see how from right to left, the parts come in for the different pieces of the fuselage and the tail and the wings. And as it moves on down the line, things are connected together. And eventually what comes out the other side of the factory in that area is a 787 that is ready to go be painted. It has the engines on it. It is ready to go pretty much. Has almost everything already done to it. Now, there are instances where they won't have the seats in them because the airline will do that in their own country. But for the most part, all of the seats and everything are put into the airplane, and it's just going to go to the paint, and it'll essentially be ready for service at that point, ready for delivery. So pretty impressive. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they're rolling out a 787 every 4 days or something like that. And I could be wrong there, but it is a very fast process. So from what I understand, that's about how quickly they're coming out of the factory. And then from the second they start building one to when it comes out of the factory is something like 40 days. Now, for those of you who know about the 787, you know that a lot of the parts come from all over the world. So they ship in the fuselage, they ship in the wings, the tail, all that stuff comes in on the Dreamlifter, which is the modified 747. And then it, you know, it comes together and goes down the assembly line. So you get to see that entire process kind of taking place. They have the 787-8 and -9 there. Very cool to see. I love the 787. I've always loved the look of it. It's a very cool airplane. And it's just kind of at the beginning of its career, if you will. And I hope it has a very long life. Seems like a great airplane. You know, they had a few kinks that they worked out there at Boeing, and it looks beautiful. It's an amazing airplane. So that's the first area that we saw. And then we got to the 777 area. Now, as you know, with the 777, this is a proven platform. This is an aircraft that's been around for a long time. It's hard to believe that it's been around for 20 years now, I believe is what we're coming to, but it's still a viable platform. They're mostly building 777-300s these days, 300ERs. And so we got to see that process, same process. A lot of the stuff comes in from the right and they're constantly connecting it and is moving on down the line. Now, as you know, with all the facts that I named about the factory, everything here is done at a different scale. I mean, if they need to rotate a fuselage or pick it up with a crane and move it or whatever, this is a huge, huge place. And they have the machinery that can pick that stuff up and move it. Now, one thing that really impressed me as we went along the factory and, you know, they were sharing the facts about things and how everything comes together, which is all very impressive. What really impresses me is how amazing the project management is and the lean manufacturing and all that stuff coming together right there along the factory floor. I mean, the fact that all of this stuff comes together in one place and people put it together on time and on schedule and it gets out the door per the customer requirements is just absolutely amazing. So it's really cool to see, and it's especially cool to see from a perspective low on the ground where you're actually walking through all of that rather than the typical Boeing tour, which is just kind of a bird's eye view of the entire factory. Again, both of them impressive, but this VIP tour was definitely amazing because you get to be right there kind of as if you are a factory worker, which is really impressive. So we saw the 777s moving through, you know, on each of the 777s, you could see, or really any of the airplanes, it would say what airline it was for, what number of aircraft it was for that line. And then on the factory doors, right in front of where the airplanes would come out, they had tails of the different liveries that were delivered. So in order of the customers that took delivery on those aircraft, those are located on the door. So that's pretty cool to see how many airlines have taken delivery of those specific types of airplane. Then we got to the 747 area. Now this area is a lot different because the 747 doesn't have a ton of orders right now. It isn't necessarily a popular airplane anymore. There are still a few orders in for it, mostly cargo operations. So it's really not as fast of a process as the other 787 and 777 lines. I think they turn out one that's just, it's much less frequent, one every few weeks or one a month or something like that. It's definitely not at the frequency that you're seeing with the other platforms. The 777 and the 787 are hot items, and they are trying to build them as fast as they can, and they're only accelerating that process, so it's just going to get faster. So, you know, to kind of wrap it all up, really, really cool tour of the floor there at Boeing. Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience, which is exactly why we wanted to go on this Aviation Geek Fest weekend. So that was really cool to see. We went from there and again passed some other cool aircraft and cool buildings on the way to what is called the Customer Delivery Center. Now, this is the delivery center where the customer will get their completed airplane, and much of the time they will actually have a group of, you know, whether they be employees or executives or just people from the airline that are able to take an inaugural flight from Boeing to their home location, wherever that is. So it's kind of a ceremonial place, a place where the handoff is taken from Boeing to this new customer and they take their brand new airplane. This is much like a terminal. So there are actual gates here. There is an operating TSA that will run security for this small terminal. There's only two gates. And then out front of this, you see a big line of airplanes. In this area, they are mostly 787s. I mean, there are so many airplanes out here that they kind of span for a few miles around, and you can't see all the airplanes that are brand new and kind of sitting out on the ramp, but they are everywhere. But this is the delivery center, so it's pretty cool, very nice place, and it's cool that Boeing takes the time and the effort to make kind of this ceremonial handoff of their aircraft, and, you know, it's a big celebration for these airlines when they take these brand new airplanes, especially when they're taking something like their first 777 or 787. And I can imagine that some of them really enjoy taking delivery of their new 747-8Is or -8Fs, whatever it is. So very cool. Very cool delivery center. Very nice. Definitely more of a customer center than anything. So after that, we had a few hours to browse around, get a small snack or something like that, spend a little more time at the Future of Flight, and then it was dinner time with the airplanes there at the Future of Flight. So there's a big floor there in front of what was a screen and a stage and a bunch of giveaways that were going to happen later. And we had a very nice dinner. You know, we sat down to a table with strangers, got to know each other, talked about our passion for aviation, and then just kind of got excited about the night ahead. We had a great meal again. A test pilot from Boeing got up and spoke for about an hour. His name was Chad Lundy. Shared a lot of really cool facts about the Boeing test flight process and the things that they go through. Shared some cool videos. Seemed like a great guy. Engineering background, which is pretty typical of Boeing pilots. And just really, really cool. So that was enjoyable, and then they got into a raffle drawing. Now, they had a lot of cool prizes. I mean, they had all these executive airline models that people were kind of lusting after. They had a lot of cool airline giveaways that people wanted. And the biggest thing that everyone wanted was tickets to Qatar Airlines. Anywhere in Qatar's network, you could get these two business class tickets. So they were a couple tickets for, you know, a couple or something like that. And you could go anywhere on the network. Unfortunately, we waited and waited and waited, and my wife and I didn't really win anything. We did get some other giveaways that they gave out, like some amenity kits, some first class amenity kits from United Airlines and some other things, some fun stuff that we enjoyed, some Alaska Airlines trading cards or something like that. So we got a lot of different cool stuff, and it was just overall an enjoyable evening, a good end to that day, a very cool day of seeing all of that behind the scenes stuff at the Boeing factory there in Everett. Just really impressive and a great day. Definitely if it was only this one day, it would have been worth the trip, but we had a second day coming up the next day. So that gets us into day two. Now, day two started out a little different. And as you remember, prior to this podcast, at least a couple podcasts back, I talked to Carlene Pettit, who is an international airline pilot and author of Flight to Success. Very cool interview. I really enjoyed that. And during that interview in that podcast, I said, hey, you know, there's this Northwest Aviation Conference coming up, Carlene. I'm going to do my best to get there. And that's exactly what I did. So there were some things going on for the Aviation Geek Fest or the Aviation Geek Weekend in the morning where you could go and you could tour some of the Museum of Flight, which is different from the Future of Flight. I'll tell you a little bit about it later. But I wanted to spend that time in the morning to go and meet Carlene. So that's exactly what my wife and I did. We rushed down to where this place was because it was kind of out of the way. We got in there, you know, $5 a piece, and we had 30 minutes to go through the entire conference. 10 minutes of that was spent with Carlene. It was really great to meet her and her husband, Dick. She had a bunch of books out. She was selling them pretty well, a bunch of cool signs. Very great person. I got a signed copy of her book, Flight to Success, so I'm looking forward to reading that. And just overall, a really, really great thing. Now, there's a little lesson here, a little background lesson that I want to give you guys, if you'll take it. And that is that, you know, I really didn't have to go out of my way to go down there. I could have made every excuse that, you know, I came down here for the Aviation Geek Weekend. I spent money on it. I'm going to spend my time there. But I went out of my way because I wanted to make this connection with Carlene and in a way to say thank you for her joining us on the podcast. So it just so happened that Carlene knew someone at Alaska Airlines who worked at the airport. And this, what eventually happened was this woman went down to the lost baggage area and she found my laptop for me. So if I wouldn't have gone to meet Carlene, I would have never made that connection to getting my laptop in a timely manner. So I was only without it for a couple days. Definitely worth the trip to go down there and see Carlene. But you know, getting the laptop, I was going to get the laptop eventually. Mostly it was about just getting to meet her. So it was really cool to meet her. My wife and I, we buzzed around the entire conference, met with a few people, grabbed some pens, that kind of stuff. One really interesting thing that happened there that I wanted to point out to you guys was this is one of the main sources where Alaska Airlines does its interviews for their pilots. So there was this little corner at the conference where there was a line of 20 guys lined up in really nice suits, and you know they're looking really sharp. And this is where you could get a face-to-face interview with Alaska Airlines. And that is pretty atypical of an airline where you can actually go to a place, you know, you can go to a place and get an interview. Essentially, usually it's who you know. And from what I understand, Alaska Airlines hired 400 pilots from this conference last year. So it's a really important place to go and definitely worth it. So it's cool to see those guys kind of lined up there and see them interviewing there, just right there on the conference floor. Saw a lot of other great things. I mean, I wish I could have spent more time there, but it's great to see aviation strong in a place like that. Now, this is only a couple hours in the morning. This is day two. There's still a lot more to go. So my wife and I, we had to rush back to the Museum of Flight because we had to make the buses to go to the other tours for the day. So we rushed back to the Museum of Flight. We literally ran in the doors and ran to get on the tour bus, and we barely made it on. And then we were going to see the things for that day. So the couple of things we were going to see this day were the Customer Experience Center and the Renton Factory. So the Customer Experience Center came first, and this is a really unique place because this is not open to the public at all. There are no public tours, and actually both tours this day aren't open to the public, but this one especially isn't open to the public. This is a place where the airlines come to choose seating for their aircraft, to get more familiar with the seat layouts of the aircraft. So it's kind of in this inconspicuous business park. And you don't really think that something like this would be there, but they do have a Boeing building there, and you go inside, and inside there is a full cabin mock-up of the 787 and the 737 and a partial mock-up of the 747, part of the lower deck and also the upper deck of that 747. And in these areas, you get the first class seats, which are really amazing. You get business class cabins, you get the regular, kind of economy seats. So really cool. I mean, you get to see the Sky Interior, the 787, and also how that's going into the other models. They do have a 777 one there that's not done yet. We didn't get to see that quite yet. But very cool to see the seat layouts and to sit in first class, if you will, go to the upper deck of the 747 and enjoy that. Really cool. So we just wandered around there for an hour or so, I think about an hour and a half, and just really enjoyed that. Now, they also had kind of a back area, which was some of the more technological stuff that Boeing was showing off. So they had what was essentially kind of a level C simulator there. It means it didn't have motion or anything. And I'm not sure that's level C, but it didn't have motion or anything, but it was a full mock-up of the 787 cockpit. And so you could sit down and fly the 787. So, you know, of course I wanted to do that. So I got in line and waited about 15 minutes and it came up my turn. And that was a lot of fun, albeit awkward, because we were flying the airplane from outside the airplane. It's like this outside perspective of the airplane. And I don't know why they hadn't set it up to be inside the cockpit, but it pretty much made the landing weird and impossible. But it was still cool to be at the controls of a 787. Those big, big displays were really neat to see. And man, I would love to have one in my own home, but I also want to stay married, so I don't think I'm going to be doing that. Just really cool. It's just really cool to be able to fly that, and it was only for a minute and a half, but a lot of fun. The whole customer experience center was very cool. I enjoyed that immensely. And then from there, we went over to the Renton factory. Now, the Renton factory is where they build the 737s. And as many of you know, the 737 is by far the most popular Boeing jet there is. It's still popular to this day, which kind of surprises me. I mean, it's this little 737 that is very economical and has a great mission that accomplishes a lot of things for a lot of airlines. And so a lot of people are still ordering it. So again, no public tours allowed here at Renton. They do it for, I guess, private parties like this Aviation Geek Weekend. So really cool to go through that. This was a little different. We didn't get to go down on the factory floor. We did have kind of that skywalk view of the factory, but still really neat. So this was impressive. A 737 comes off the factory floor. They have 1.5 average. 737s come off the factory floor every single day. So this is a very quick process. These airplanes come in, they're going through basically a stage a day, and there's 4 stages, I believe. So in 4 days, they typically put together the entire airplane. So we saw jets from some Chinese airlines. We saw Delta Airlines 737 there. Really cool. They paint the rudders before, much like some of the other heavier aircraft. They actually paint the rudders before. I think on the 787, they're actually painting the entire vertical stabilizer, which is interesting. It's some sort of weight and balance issue with the 787-9 that they do it that way now. But anyway, they also have a revolving end number. So this is a cool little fact. There is only one end number for every 737 that flies out of Renton up to Boeing Field. Now, they are painted at Boeing Field. So Boeing Field is where the Museum of Flight is, and also the painting facility and other Boeing facilities, but the painting facility for the 737. So there's only one end number for those aircraft. So I don't know what the exact end number is, but it flies out of Renton and lands in Boeing Field, and then they paint it, and then it has its different identification number. And it's not always going to be an end number then. More likely than not, it won't be. It'll be something else because of the international nature of the 737, that it's all over the world. So it's kind of cool. It's like a new end number every single time that flies that flight. That end number is on a new airplane every single time. So I thought that was pretty cool. On the side of every 737 is the number 737 it is. So it's like 5,300 something or other. Pretty cool. I don't know. This, to see the frequency here at the 737 factory, the fact that they're putting out 1.5 per day is just amazing. It's still an amazingly popular airplane. Obviously, they have the 737 MAX coming out as well soon. So it's not going away. I mean, this is an aircraft that's going to be around for a long time. And, you know, I fly on Alaska Airlines a lot. I think the 737 is a great airplane and it's doing well. So why not keep selling them instead of create something new? I think it's a great airplane. So that was really fun and enjoyable. From there, we went back to the Museum of Flight, which was where we were supposed to start our day, but we kind of sacrificed that to go to the Northwest Aviation Conference and see Carlene. And here there were a lot of great airplanes. I mean, the Museum of Flight is one of the better flight museums in the world. It is a very, very good museum. So they had the Concorde there, which is very cool to see. I've never seen a Concorde before. I know you Brits out there are just so proud of that airplane. And it's a beautiful airplane. I have to say it's really, really cool. So I took some great pictures of that. And then onto the 787, they have the first test 787, I believe. It's the first or the third. It's one of the test 787s that they had. And that is out there. And then they have Air Force One. And this was Air Force One for John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon. So several different U.S. presidents, they have Air Force One. It's a 707, so it's not a 747, but really cool. So we got to see all that. We got to tour the museum. We didn't get to see it all, but we saw enough to make us happy. And then we kind of took the rest of our time there to say goodbye to new friends and wrap things up at this entire Aviation Geek weekend. A very cool and a very fun time, enlightening. It was just amazing to see how cool all of this manufacturing behind the scenes is. And it was great to meet other like-minded people too. I mean, this is a fun conference to see how many people from different walks of life and different parts of the world were here to take part in aviation geekery is what it boiled down to. So I really enjoyed that. Now, I know that this is, we're still going on here. This is possibly one of the longer monologues I've ever had, but I still have some more cool stuff to share with you guys and another cool experience. So that kind of wraps up the Aviation Geek Weekend experience. But about a week later, I was invited to go to the Alaska Airlines flight training facility, and our good friend, Mike Swanigan, or Swanee, as many call him, from episode 17 of Aviator Cast, was kind enough to show my wife and I around the flight training facility and introduce us to people and see a lot of the cool, cool things there. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Swanee is an awesome guy. He's just as funny in real life as he is on the podcast. He's an awesome person. He's also on commercials. He's like this popular guy. I didn't really even know this, but he's also on commercials with Russell Wilson for Alaska Airlines. And you can see why, because he's just such a cool and personable guy. Really enjoyed our time with him there, and it's so great to meet him. That was our main purpose for going. The rest of what I'm about to talk about was just icing on the cake. So soon after we got there, after we walked in, you know, it's all secure, and so Mike had to let us in. I don't think we had to sign in as guests or anything, but anyway, he showed us around. We soon met Micah Storer. Now, Micah is the simulation guy there on staff for the day, and he knows everything about the simulator. So as you can imagine, with the flight training facility, Alaska Airlines had a line of level D flight simulators, full motion, full cockpit, great visuals, and it's like flying the actual airplane. And I believe they have four simulators, if I'm not mistaken. So what was really cool and what I kind of didn't expect from this visit was Micah took us through the history of flight simulation as it pertained to these large airlines. So initially, we went to one of their models, which was this old 1990s model. It was a room full of computers, and he would open up a big rack of computers with a bunch of circuit boards and a bunch of connections, and you would say, okay, you know, this is the display unit. This is what we've got here that's driving the display, or this is what's driving the displays. And by display, I mean the actual visual display of the outside environment. And then you'd say this rack is for, or these two racks are for what drives the displays on the actual aircraft, the avionics. And so one by one, he took us through all these huge racks in this big room. You know, you got the old computers with the black screen with the green text on them. I mean, old school sort of stuff. And he took us through the history, the progression of what this was like. So then we got into another simulator that they took probably in the early 2000s. There were fewer racks. It looked, you know, a lot better, more efficient. Definitely, you could see the technology getting better. The simulator itself was better as far as visuals and things like that. Not as many rudimentary kind of old school computing things going on. And then we got into their newest simulator, which they are most proud of, which is this simulator from CAE. It has Rockwell Collins visuals, and this thing is the bee's knees. So what was rooms of computers before for that 1990s model, now for this newer, amazing visuals, perfect simulator, no hydraulics, by the way, in the motion platform. It was all electronic jack screws, so they didn't have that stuff to deal with. But this thing, it only had a few racks of computers. And even then, there were only just a few modules inside each of those racks. And this thing didn't have hardly any hardware that was attached to it. I mean, you could just see how much better the computer technology has gotten over the years. And oh, by the way, the visuals on this thing are amazing. So because flight crews were in the simulators at that point, we couldn't go in, and we were going to wait until they got on break, which was soon coming up. So Micah took us into kind of their development room for the visuals. And so in this area, you know, he explained to me that they had gotten a few of the airports from Rockwell Collins for the visuals, but they weren't able to get a very special airport, which only Alaska Airlines basically flies into, which is Juneau. Now, I think another airline flies in there now. I think Delta flies in there now. But primarily in the past, only Alaska has flown in here. So there was no reason for Rockwell Collins to make this airport, so they had to do it on their own. So I sat with, or rather stood there as Micah sat down to this machine where they had essentially created all their own visuals for the Juneau Airport. And this was amazing, amazing quality. We're talking about Orbix quality stuff here, and Orbix is a flight simulation developer that does great sceneries. We're talking about amazing stuff. These guys did it all in-house, and it matches that quality. I mean, it's just incredible. So I was really blown away. You know, they had marshallers outside. All the scenery looked realistic. They had what was called patchy wet, which was really impressive. It's like if it just rained and you have kind of standing puddles on the ramp, you can see those puddles, and you can also see the reflection in those puddles. It just looked amazing. And what Mike Swanigan and I got in a small conversation about was that this is what makes simulation really, truly amazing and believable. Because if as a pilot you believe that you're there, even for an instant, then you have fully immersed yourself in the training environment. And when you forget you're there, you can truly learn as though you were there. And so that's what a great simulation does, whether we're talking about an airline style one here or whether we're talking about one that you have at home. I mean, that's what you really want to accomplish, is those moments where you forget that you're not actually flying. So very, very cool. It was so impressive to see Micah, because he would just type in a few lines of code and he would just isolate, you know, to show us the buildings or to show us just the runway markings or something like that. I mean, this guy was a whiz. He really knew what he was doing. Very professional. You could just tell this guy was top notch. So then, you know, the crews were on break. We got to go out and actually fly in one of the simulators. I believe it was a 700 and probably an 800. It might've been a 700. Anyway, We got to fly in one. We didn't have any motion because we didn't want to mess with what the previous crew had done. We didn't want to bring up the bridge or anything like that. So I was able to do a takeoff, which was pretty fun. And even though you don't have motion, it really feels like you're there. It's unbelievable. We came back around, and then Micah set me up for an HGS. I had him bump the visibility down. I just wanted something challenging for the few minutes that I had in the sim. So I brought up the HUD, and I did a HUD approach, and that was super fun. Went down the minimums, landed pretty well, and I was excited about that. My wife got to fly for a little bit too. Not as much as me, but she took the controls and turned it around a little bit and sat in the right seat. She's my best co-pilot, so we really enjoyed experiencing that together. And that was one of the older simulators. So then we went over to that new simulator that CAE had made with the Rockwell Collins visuals. And we just looked inside and saw the visuals because the crew has set it up and they didn't want it, you know, messed with or anything. So we got to see the visuals in there. And then we actually got to open up the doors on the side and look into that big kind of that canopy you see that is meant to be the screen that the pilots look at for the outside visuals. And you get to see the technology in there. So it's dealing with projectors and mirrors and material and all sorts of crazy things that project those visuals. And so we kind of got to see behind there and what that looks like. And that was really neat as well. And then some of the more intangible parts of just walking around the Alaska Airlines training facility, getting to meet the wonderful people there. You got a sense that this was a family more than an airline. People knew each other well, and Swanee, as always with everyone, he has specific compliments just for them. He was kind enough to introduce me and the Aviator Cast podcast. He was very complimentary of it to many of his colleagues around there. One of which was this woman first officer that was going through her recurring training. And I actually saw her on the airplane a few days later when we left, Seattle. So it's like, hey, how you doing? And she said she was going to listen to the podcast. So that was pretty cool. It became very apparent that Swanee is a very influential guy around Alaska Airlines. There's no doubt why he was part of their commercials. Why they love him so much, because you can see his you can't actually see it, but Swanee won the customer service award before they started putting up plaques on the wall. And then he won the ACE award, and the ACE award is the top award at Alaska Airlines. And from what I saw, there were only about 20 people in the history of Alaska Airlines that had won this ACE award. So he was one of those. Just a top-notch guy. And then to kind of polish it all off, icing on the cake, if you will, tucked behind some plants that were sitting there, some decorative plants, were Swanee's speed records that he had set in the 727. And I didn't get a ton of time to actually read what they said. I did take pictures of them. But I'll make sure to put a lot of the pictures from this event on the actual podcast page so you guys can see all of that stuff. I got to take a lot of pictures at the Alaska Airlines training facility, so you'll be able to see all those. I took a lot of pictures of the computers that Micah showed us and some of the visuals and things like that. So make sure to go to aviatorcast.com and check that out. But that was my experience at Aviation Geek Weekend and with Alaska Airlines. I really want to thank Mike Swanigan for showing us around. Really, really appreciate that. It's so nice to get to see him and meet him in person. He is he's going to be retiring soon from Alaska Airlines, so this was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And in addition, it was really great to be at the Aviation Geek Weekend and get to be around like-minded people. And on top of all that, get to meet Carlene Pettit in a few short moments at the Northwest Aviation Conference as well. So this ended up being a very productive time down there in the Pacific Northwest, and it inspired me to, as Mike Swanigan puts it, be excellent to each other. That is a phrase that he has coined, and I really love that. And it just showed me that aviation, more and more, is about relationships, and that's what this conference and all of this time that I spent down there was all about. It was about relationships. It was about sharing that with the people, the contacts I had made already with with Mike and Carlene and some of the new friends I met at the Aviation Geek Weekend, and also being able to share that with my wife and my friends. So it was a great, fun time. Gave me some energy for this aviation thing, and I just enjoyed the heck out of it. So that's it, guys. That's all I have to say for this week. We have a very great podcast coming up next week. I'm going to have a few messages here, and then we'll get into the closing thoughts.
Join us next week for another exciting topic or interview with a great guest. Spread the Aviator Cast message. Please review Aviator Cast on iTunes or submit an audio question for the show at aviatorcast.com. All iTunes reviews and audio questions that are aired on the show will get an official Aviator Cast t-shirt. You can write Aviator Cast directly on aviatorcast.com, where you can interact with the Aviator Cast community, or write Aviator Cast at me@aviatorcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. For more information on angle of attack simulation training videos for FSX, X-Plane, and more, go to www.flyaoamedia.com. If you are looking for professional aviation training video services and other media, inquire at www.angleofattackpro.com. Now, for the final release clearance, back to Chris Palmer.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Aviator Cast. A final big thank you to Mike Swanigan from Alaska Airlines and Alaska Airlines themselves for not only allowing us in their flight training facility, but also getting my laptop back to me so quickly. Also, a big thanks to Carlene Pettit. I'm really looking forward to reading your book, and I'm sure it is absolutely awesome. And a big thanks to Airline Reporter for putting together this great Aviation Geek Fest weekend, which I'm sure I speak for many when I say it was very enjoyable and something that I would like to do again. And I'll remember those things for the rest of my life. So just really, really cool. Really appreciate it. I also want to thank the Angle of Attack crew for all that they do to make Aviator Cast possible each and every week. These guys really do a lot of great work behind the scenes. And thank you to our listeners who are out there evangelizing Aviator Cast and helping us grow. We really appreciate you. If you do enjoy this episode of Aviator Cast and Aviator Cast in general, we do ask that you go and review us on iTunes. That would mean a whole heck of a lot. If we read that review on the show, I will send you an exclusive Aviator Cast t-shirt, and I'm sure that you will love it. I will send that to wherever you are in the world. All right, guys, so thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Aviator Cast. Next week, we are going to have Austin Meyer from X-Plane on the show. He is the founder and the main guy there at X-Plane, so it should be a really, really cool episode. So I'll see you then. Until next time, throttle along.
5-8 is ready. 5-8 in the shoreline, turn left heading 235, maintain 2000, runway 25 right, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 25 right, United 580.